Of his holiness, extol him. Come on, bless his name. Bless his name. Let it come from your heart. The language that God hears is the language from the heart.
Celebrate you. Thank you for testimonies we've heard. Thank you for the ones that have not been shared. We give you the praise. Father, this morning give us direction. Instruct our hearts. Your word says we hear a word behind us that will tell us go this way. May we never lack direction. We'll never be in a place when we don't know what to do. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Let's celebrate Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. I know you're standing, but come on, celebrate Jesus first. Amen. Be seated. Love you right back. God bless you. The centurion said, no, you don't need to come to my house. Just speak from where you are. He said, I'm a man under authority. I understand authority. Just speak. And the same hour that Jesus spoke, the servant was healed. And Jesus said, he paused and said, I've never seen this faith among believers before. No, not in Israel. And he called it great faith. Great faith. Oh, you ought to be there. Yes, I know. But I don't have to be there. Javelin is a type of prayer. The javelin gets to where you can get to. So you can pray for someone in Canada from here. You can. There are places where visa won't allow you to go to. But prayer does not need visa. In Psalm 147 verse 15, the Bible says in Psalm 147 verse 15, he sends out his command to the earth. Not to Kubwa. Kubwa is small. It's near. He sends out his command and his word runs swiftly, more than a human being. He runs swiftly. I pray in the name of Jesus. As you are praying here, or you're watching from where you're watching from, there will be results in your village. You will hear good news from afar. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. I welcome you to church. If you're here for the first time, you're not here by happenstance or circumstance. God brought you here on a purpose for a purpose. I'm starting a series from today that I've titled, Anybody Can Be Somebody. Anybody. And I'm not telling you what I read from a book or read or heard from someone. Personal experience. Anybody can be somebody. In the course of this series, I will share some personal testimonies. I'm starting from Genesis 1:28. If you're alive, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then God blessed them. That's why if you're blessed, it's good. But when you're married, you're more blessed. Because he didn't bless him, he blessed them. And God said to them, become fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have, not give, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the living things that moves on the earth. So God's intent, and I want you to listen to me close. God's intent is that you should, number one, have. That explains why God has given you a car to ride to church, giving you a house to live, but you want your home because you are made to have. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, anything that represents lack in your life is over this morning. God wants everyone, not, see, that lie of the devil that, oh, is what you chose when you came from a reason lie, is not Christian. It can be any other covenant. I don't know about that. But it's not the covenant I've been called to teach. Anybody can be somebody. If you listen to this series or you read your Bible every day. If you notice this, the reason why where you're supposed to have dominion was stated here. Go and read every version. No human being was there. You are not supposed to dominate another human being. Because that human being you're supposed to dominate is supposed to dominate something. Everybody. Oh, you are a house help. You are at the back with the baby. You were supposed to dominate something. I love the Amplified Bible. Read the Amplified of verse 28. I didn't plan to read it, but it came to my spirit. It said, and God blessed them. He empowered them and said to them. So how he blessed them, what he said. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. using all vast resources and services to God and man, have dominion. I don't know the version that says I have complete authority. Have complete authority. So God wants you and I to have complete authority. That's what God wants. Now, the area where I'm supposed to dominate is not the area you're supposed to dominate. They asked David, do you want to choose your inheritance or you want God to choose your inheritance for you? He said, I want God. That's why he said, lines are falling unto me. He didn't choose it. He discovered it. Lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Tap your neighbor, say, my inheritance. It doesn't matter what I'm doing for now. The one God has chosen for me. The one I'm walking towards. Lines are falling into me in pleasant places. Do like me, say, yay! I have a godly inheritance. God's intent is that everyone should be successful. Ah, what kind of world is that? But Jesus said, the poor you will have among you. Yeah, because not everybody will listen. First of all, before I move forward, success is not what you call success. God has his definition of success. First of all, success is what you attract by who you have become, not what you pursue. Oh, that brother is doing well. Ah, what's your definition? Oh, he has built a house in Guzape and he has two cars. That's your definition of success. Now, you may be laughing at me secretly, thinking, what else is success? I tell you the truth, I have seen not one, not two, not 20, not 30. I've seen people that had houses. Drive after the service, drive through Asokoro. You see houses that thunder has struck. The children are fighting. When the man that built the house, he thought he has settled himself. See, I'm telling you the truth. All of that is not success. Success does not end with you. It goes to your children and your children's children. That's why a smart person does not just get successful. He plans, he talks to his children and his children's children. Because covenant does not stop with you. So success is not what the enemy has defined success to be. And I know you've been through so much. Maybe you have a lack in your life that you think, oh, if I just have money, everything will be solved. Well, I don't have money like you thought, but I have some. And I know many people have here. Ask them. Money. See, there's a God-shaped hole in you. You threw your money. For a while, you will have testimonies. But after a while, you will surpass it. What used to give you joy will not give you joy anymore. I'm telling you, if it was Lazarus that said, vanity upon vanity, they would say, then shut up. What do you have? But it was Solomon that had everything. At the end of his life, he said, all these things, they are vanity. I'm telling you the truth. This is not a pastor trying to sermonize. I'm telling you the truth. Oh, you thought, once I have a house in the side of the city where the sun does not set, I'll be okay. That house can become a stone. You can have your divorce in the house. I'm telling you. Before, you and your husband, you were in two bedroom. When you fought, you settled that night because there was no other room. Now, there's a bigger room. There's a bigger house. Where you can go and sleep in the guest house. You now have a room for the guest, whether the guest comes or not. I'm telling you, success is not what you thought. Success is not what you pursue. Surely not maybe. Goodness and mercy shall follow you. What do I need to do that goodness will be following me? Mercy will forgive my sins. Goodness will supply my needs. What do I need to do? How can anybody become somebody? Success is not what you pursue. It is what you begin to attract by who you become. Do you know? Let me say this in a passing because I don't want to preach a general message. Many people put my name in their company. They say, Pastor, somebody brought a seat to me recently and said, Pastor, this is your share. I said, for what? What did I do? He said, you remember, I put your name in my company. This is what I'm supposed to get. Oh, and they gave me money, millions. I said, oh, thank you. I'm so grateful. Just my name. That didn't happen to me 20 years ago. It is who you have become. And you start attracting some things. It is what you begin to attract by who you have become. Praise God. Success is not having a good house. It's not having a good car. The devil can give you a pencil and collect your vision from you. If you hear that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, if your clothes was missing, that wasn't the devil. He doesn't steal clothes. He steals visions from people. But there's a way God has marked for you and I to succeed. There's a way. Oh, I'm disadvantaged. When I was coming out of my mother's womb, like my father was dying, I'm talking to you. You are the one I'm sent to. Because the Bible says, when your father and your mother forsake you, then the Lord will take you up. I've not talked to my father for the past 20. I don't even know his face very well. Some people don't even, their father even died. So why are you crying that you didn't talk? I'm not saying it's not good. I'm not saying your father don't have a place in your life. But some people, their father died when they were giving birth to them. Their mother died. Someone like my father sucked his stepmother's breast. Not that his mother died. But his mother had to relocate. He told me this in 1906 that if I sucked my stepmother's breast, who can kill me again? No. If the woman wanted to kill me, she would have just killed me at that time. Some of you, all you need to do is to look back. You will see that God was faithful when you were not faithful to you, even to yourself. Can somebody shout hallelujah? And if you read the first temptation, what the devil said was, this old man knows that the day you eat this fruit, you become like one of the gods. The devil is always lying to accuse you to God and accuse God to you. Be on guard. Success is not what you thought. You have to change your mind. Success is not, is actually fulfilling the reason why you were born. What did God think about? If he doesn't do anything without a reason, why did he bring you to the face of the earth? That is how anybody will be somebody. Thank God for the career path you've chosen. And I'm not saying everybody has to be a pastor. No. You don't have to be a politician and be ordained as a deacon. No. But make sure that what God has asked you to do is what you're doing. Then you'll be successful. If you're not successful yet, I can tell you, you'll be successful in God's way. Amen. Amen. Can somebody shout hallelujah? So God's intent is that everybody should be successful. Now, what you do is not what is popular. Let me quickly, I can only talk about me. So please allow me to talk about me. I don't know about other people. Is what they tell me that I can believe. But I know about me. When I became a pastor, it wasn't trending to be a pastor. That I remembered. There's no pastor. My pastor was using a bike. Suzuki. Okay? When he became my pastor. When I chose him. So I didn't see a pastor that was living prosperity. That I could say, okay. I told my younger ones, in fact, how I spoke to them about ministry was, look, I'm going to become a poor man. So you guys need to think about me when you're working. That was what I thought. So the reason why what God has asked you to do, the reason why it's not popular, maybe because you've not risen up. Because not many people were called to do what you were called to do. The man that buried his talent, you know what Jesus told him? He would have said, oh, you buried it. Okay. We'll give you another chance. He said, you are wicked. You are wicked. You are slothful. Could it be that you are there today saying, God is not good to me, and God is saying, you are wicked.
Why did you bear? He's not trending to become this, to become that. For 120 years, Noah built the ark. People laughed at him. Do you know that the time of Noah is never rained before? The Bible says a mist came from the garden that watered the garden. So when he was saying water was going to come, they were laughing. Where will water come from? No, what are you saying? And he did it for 120 years and nobody believed in him. Therefore, I pray for you. In the name of Jesus, you will not be a waste. Because if someone comes to the face of the earth and do not live and do not become what God wants them to be, they just wasted their lives. Oh yeah, I went to the university. I have 3 PhD. God will not ask you, as nice as the certification is, God will not ask you what car you drove. He will ask you, did you do what I asked you to do? That's what he was going to ask you. Most things that you are preoccupied with right now, God will not ask you. He will not ask you where you lived, how many houses you built. No, he won't ask you that. He will ask you, what did you do? Now, you build a house. You will ride a good car. Because those things are tools to help you to fructify what God has, you know, called you to do. I pray for somebody here. You will have a clue. You will know exactly what you were made for. You know, you've heard messages on potentials and visions that, okay, this is another message. No, this is not another message. I'm telling you, that's the reason why you are average. I'm not there yet myself, but that's the reason why you and I are average. Because we've not discovered. We are doing what is trending. Oh, what somebody did that it was successful. We've not discovered who we are. Now, let me say this. You are only existing if you've not discovered what God has asked you to do. You are not living. You're only existing. Jesus was talking to living, breathing people. He said, I came that you might have life. They should tell him, we are living before. I'm 35 years old. I'm even older than you. How can you come that I might have life? It's another kind of life. Because you can exist and not live. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Psalm 100 is one of my favorite scriptures. In verse 3, the Bible says in verse 3, Psalm 100, know that the Lord is God. Full stop. That's why I love the song. You are God, mighty. You are God. Whether I question you or you determine what the book ends on your table. Wake up. Wake up. I was reading something today on YouTube. Somebody was crying and said, since he got broke, people abandoned him. I laughed. Oh, news flash or flash news. You're just discovering that because you are broke, people abandoned you. He said, people that used to, you know, suck up to him, they abandoned him. I said, okay, maybe God wants you to wake up, that there's more than people. You are living for people. You are living because you want the approval of men. But what has God brought you forth for? The Bible says, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, not we ourselves. So you must get to a level to know that I didn't make myself. I'm not a cosmic being that dropped from the ozone. I didn't just appear. There's a reason why God made me. If you ask an average person, particularly in the slum, what do you do? Say, man must just work. So you just live to work, to eat. That's why you are where you are. There's more. Look at your neighbor, please. Because I'm far from them. You are near them. Tell them there's more. Say, you can't convince me that this is all there is about you. There's more. You can't convince me. You can't convince me. There's more. How you know that you need deliverance, not the one in Abuja, you go to the eastern part. How you know is that what I'm saying right now is just bouncing off you. Like, you're just, it's a combo doing. They did you. That you will never listen. I'm not supposed to figure how I'm supposed to make this happen. I'm supposed to listen first of all. A pregnant woman don't know whether she's giving birth to twins, male or female, until after some months when scan can pick it. She receives from her husband. First of all, it is with heart you believe, not with mind. So your mind can conceive this. But what your mind can conceive is that you didn't just show up here. There's a reason. Even the atheist, I have a book that I read what the atheist said before they died. Oh, I see darkness. Atheists, at the end of their lives, most of them, they know God exists. Some of them are hurt because their mom died, their father died. The fact that you're hurt does not mean that God exists. Amen, somebody. Tap your neighbor, say, I know that God does not exist for me. I exist for God. We are his people. Psalm 100 verse 3. We are his people. And the sheep of his... Does the sheep argue with the shepherd? Wake up. Wake up. All those books you read that say, believe in yourself, you can do it, is not biblical. Some things appeal to your mind. Now, I'm talking to people who have asked questions privately. Lord, why am I where I am? Those are the people I'm talking to. I'm not talking to you that you think you've arrived. When you get to that address, I will talk to you. Not now. But if you've asked privately, Lord, I want more. There's a desire on your inside. It's because God has put it there. You can't convince me that this is all there is about. There's more. Tap your neighbor, say there's more. The Bible says we are the sheep of his pasture. We are his people. People that were considered nobodies. After this service, from this minute, in the name, anybody who listens to me, you become somebody. God will begin to guide you. Your sleep will no longer be ordinary. God will lead you. God will make you a surprise. Some people think I don't know what to say when I tell you that people have read the Bible, they didn't understand. But your life shall be the next Bible that people will read. They will know God is a miracle working miracle. If you believe it, shout him in like fire. So I want to put a key in your hands this morning because I know I'm out of time and I have an entire month to share this with you. The first key I'm putting in your hand is that you must catch a vision. Vision is not thinking positive. Vision is not it go better. It will be better one day. No. That is positive thinking. Vision is, it starts from God, not from you. Most people are doing things that started from them. I know that God works in you, first of all, to will, then to do. So it must come through you. But it must start from God. Remember 1 John 5:4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. There's nothing the devil can do about it. The Bible does not say whoever, whatever. It's talking about vision. But this is the victory that overcomes everything the devil will bring to you, your faith. How do you believe in something that you believe started from you? It was your imagination. How do you believe in it? You won't. But if you believe I was born for this, that's why you can't talk me out of preaching. There's nothing that can happen to me, I will come to church. Why? I was born for this. I am too old to know. I'm not old. But I have lived long to know that I was born for this. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Do you have the I am statement? I am the door. I am the way. Who are you? When someone tells you, who are you? It's not an insult. It's a question that should make you wake up. Who am I? The way I'm talking. I'm not supposed to. Who am I? Who do you think you are? Is not an insult. Answer the person. In World War II, if you don't know who you are, you can die. Soldier, identify yourself. for not being able to identify yourself, you can die. They can shoot you. Who are you? Come on, talk to me. It's quiet in this Pentecostal church. Who are you? I have money. That's not what I'm talking about. Or else you would have called Mother Teresa a failure. She chose to live in India. That's her calling. I have two cars. That's not what I'm talking about. You will have all the resources to do what God, if you don't have it, God will send someone to you. Who are you? You will not run every race. You will not. When people are doing well, you will give them compliments. You will not be jealous of anybody because you know who you are. Come on, talk to me. Ask your neighbor, please. You have the permission. Ask them, who are you? Okay, ask them this way. Say, who do you think you are? Amen. Amen. Vision is the art of seeing the future from now. You see, I'm giving you a simple definition. I don't want to complicate things or reading books, or it's not wrong to read books, but I don't want to tell you what you already have known. I want to make it simple. It's the art of seeing into the future from now. Number two, vision means to see ahead. So I can drink Gary and be smiling. And people will be saying, ah, and you are smiling, drinking Gary. You have seen ahead. A wise man foresees evil ahead and hides himself. When you see him hiding himself, the Bible says John the Baptist was in the wilderness until the time of his showing. He wasn't pitying himself. He knew. They said, this man, Jesus Christ, is more than you. Two of your disciples have followed him. He said, I must decrease. He must increase. He knew God's mind. I'm here as a foreigner. I must decrease. He must increase. It's not something you say, Jesus Christ, I just make a call you. That day where I introduce you, we be cousins though, but cousins no say me person, no do person. The man knew exactly what God has brought him to the face of it from his womb. He heard the salutation of the mother of Jesus Christ. He leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. Hallelujah. What is vision? Is actualizing God's plans for your life. In this place today, how many can say they're actualizing or they're walking towards God's plan? Again, please. Because when we hear vision, we think about pastoring, being an evangelist. No, you can be a politician. That's the vision of God for you. Earlier was today, I was listening to Obama. He was talking about this a specific thing. You will notice right from time that God has called him to something he's been doing. What has God called you to? What are you doing? Then can you say what you're doing emanates from God? How you know is that he's a world overcomer. There's nothing the enemy can do about it. Those who snapped their finger at you, those who cursed you, those who said negative about you, it didn't work because God, whatever is born of God, is a world overcomer. So the first thing you do is you write down the vision. Habakkuk 2, verse 1. The Bible says, I will stand my watch. I set myself on the rampart. In other words, people start by praying. They start by fasting. It's not every time you fast to chase away demons. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. Rampant is a type of prayer. You set yourself in a place and say, Lord, because prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. After you speak, you let God talk back to you. So this person wants to hear. He said, I watch and see what he will say to me. Somebody doesn't want to know what God will say. He wants God to hear what he has to say. He's dragging God to a place instead of following God to a place. Many people, you know, I'm a pastor, and by virtue of my position here, a lot of people, when they enter the city, they come to me. And I support many people. many people come to me, and inside what they are saying, I can tell that they are dragging God into ministry. I support them anyway, because they won't listen. I'm sure the Holy Spirit has spoken to them. So what's the point of telling them? Let them fail and come to you. Then you can tell them the truth. You can know by what they are saying that they are dragging God into what they are doing. But this man said he will see what God will say to him and what he will answer when he's corrected. Number two thing, apart from prayer and listening to God, you know that you'll be corrected. No matter how long you've lived right, you should be corrected about something. There's something God will adjust. Moses was called to the Jewish people, but he wanted to do it based on his training. He went to the best school. He was an architect. This man had chariots and horses to his name. He could be the next Pharaoh. He built a city. One of the cities was called Ramesses. He wanted to. So they told him, who made you a judge? The same person they asked, who made you a judge, rescued all of them, but not without God. So this man said, I will answer. I will know what to say when I'm corrected. Are you open to correction? I remember when I wanted to leave Ilorin. I didn't spend more than 3 hours praying when God told me who to leave. Because when I entered the room to pray, I said, God, let me tell you. Whoever you tell me to leave, no matter the opinion I had, is the person I will leave here. Whoever you tell me to take, is the person I will take. Ah, God said, so you really want to hear me. I didn't spend up to 1 hour when God spoke to me. And I budgeted to spend 7 days. So the rest of the days, I didn't even finish the days when I knew who to leave and who to take to Abuja. Can somebody shout hallelujah? He said, I will answer when I'm corrected. In verse 2, then the Lord answered, God must answer, and said, write down the vision. Make it plain on tablets. In those days, they wrote on stones. So that he who reads, so vision must transcend you. From day one, you must have a succession plan. It must transcend you. I don't know if you noticed that what God told Abraham to do, he told Terah first. What God is asking you to do, you are not the first he will tell. If you ask your parents properly, it was in the heart of your parents. If you ask your grandparents properly, let me preempt myself because the way you're looking, I may not be able to finish my message. When you discover your vision, it won't be a surprise to you. Write that down. It won't be a surprise to you. God had made you to rehearse many times. You know the first where Koza started? I had a party there before. I had a party there in 1987. Koza started in 1999. So I knew the length and breadth. I knew everything. And I won't do less for God than I did for the devil when I was on the other side. When God tells you what he has called you to do, he has making you to rehearse all your life. What are the things you do easily? What are things you notice? Oh, I'm going to get there. This person said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets. For you, it's on iPad. Write the vision and make it plain on tablet that he who reads may run. How many of you have a vision wall? In 2022, God has declared and said this and said that to me. Oh, through my pastor, through one message I heard like that. But you didn't write it down. When you write it down, it's as sure as the Bible. Because you heard like those who wrote the Bible heard. The difference between the first Adam and this last Adam, you know the difference? The first Adam was tall when he was born. He heard God, but he didn't write anything down. Jesus, how did he overcome the devil? It is written. It is written. So write it down.
When you write it down, it becomes as sure as the Bible. Don't only write down the vision. Let me print myself. Write down your goal. All this Kubwa, Birmingham, we planned it since January. God spoke since last year. So it's not a reply. It's not that we're trying to prove points. No, we wanted to plant 50 branches. My great mentor, Bishop Abioye, will tell me every January, present to me what you want to do in a year. I went to present to him. I told the leaders about it. I showed him 50 branches. So you must have a date to what you want to do. That's a goal. A goal without a date, you can imagine when you're playing football without goalposts, you can play anyhow. But once we say, I said, 0-0, it's different. You are careful. You don't want someone to score because there's a goalpost. Once you have a goal with a date, it's different. Talk to me. Don't get to 31st of December and be feeling bad and be feeling sad. What are your goals? How do you work towards it? There are money I don't spend because I want to plant churches. There are people I don't host because I know my goal this year is to plant churches. Not that I will spend money, I will do everything. Then I'll say, God, why didn't you? God will say, I blessed you. You know the story of the man that prayed to God. He needed to be saved from a storm. And God sent him a helicopter. He didn't enter the helicopter and died in the storm. When he got to heaven, God said, why didn't you enter the helicopter? He said, I didn't know you were the one that sent it. I would have entered. What God sends to you do not look like God. It looks normal. Somebody came to me and said, oh, Pastor Bjorn, I need money to get to such and such place. And he was carrying a phone worth $400,000. I said, well, I like your phone. You know when they tell you in England, oh, it's bright today. It's because you're wearing the wrong color. I said, I like your phone. Ah, the person said, thank you very much. I need money. I said, no, we're not. If everybody in church asks for the kind of money you want, how much was he offering? So we can't do it today. What I was saying to the person was, sell your phone. Some of you are driving your ear. That's your car. Oh, ladies don't like me again. You don't have a job, you're wearing a here of 500,000. Why? For what? You buy what you don't need to impress those you don't like. And they're not impressed. If someone wants to help you, since you're here, say, yeah, let me look for someone else. Your hair is your problem. If you come on Tuesday, you'll like me. Today, no. Vision will affect what you do with your life. It will affect how you dress. There was a time this church was the highest gathering, I'm not sure, I've not checked, of young people in Nigeria. Just the way I dressed. Oh, I had a lot of backlash, but the way I dressed attracted. Somebody was talking to me recently, Pastor, when will you go back to the way you are? I said, I've moved on. I've gathered the people I wanted to gather. You must know why you're doing what. In Isaiah 48, 17, thank you guys. Isaiah 48, 17, he says, I'm the Lord your God. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One. This is not a fake person. I am the Lord your God. You must trust me. Who teaches you? To profit. When God is teaching you, profits are the end. But you are too wise in your own eyes. He leads you the way not you may go, not you could go, the way you should go. If you ought to go to Kaduna, you are headed towards Lagos because Lagos is popular. Oh, there are 30 million people in Lagos. You will fail
That is what is happening to most people. They figured it out. They feel, oh, who is God? And the devil is he has a big expertise in taking God out of the equation. So you think you own your life. You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. Come and talk to me. Say, the Lord, my God, teaches me to profit. Say, he leads me the way I should go. So there's a way God expects you to prosper. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man. The end is destruction. Please, like I told you, I'm introducing you to a series. I can't see everything today. But could it be? Could it just be that the way you're treading, destruction is there? The way you are handling your marriage, the vision you have for your kids, the vision you have for your career is not Bible. Who informed the mindset you have? Where did you get it from? Can I talk like God? Who told you you are naked? But I had the fruit in my eyes. Who told you? Who said it to you? Maybe you've not thought about it. The reason why Cain had to kill Abel was to make man wake up that man could die. If nobody died till today, nobody would die. Think about it when you get home. Who told you that you are a failure? Oh, you lived with someone and the person was cursing you and you are good for nothing. Who told you the mindset you have about yourself? Who said it? Is it from the Bible? When God said, the thought that I have concerning you, the thought of wholeness, not of disaster, to give you an expectation. Who told you the mindset you have? Oh, I'm working hard. So that what? That will not end poor. Who told you that God wants you to be poor? The mindset is whatever is lovely, whatever is good, think about these things. In Galatians 1, verse 15, are you alive?
Yes, sir.
I still have some time. Are you alive?
Yes, sir.
But when it pleased God, not me. When it pleased God, who separated me from where? My mother's womb, and called me through his grace. Verse 16. He revealed the Son in me that I might preach among the Gentiles. This guy thought he was supporting God. He was doing something else. He said, when I realized I did not talk to any flesh, because no flesh can know this. They should have advised me otherwise. I went to take a ride to persecute Christians until I met Jesus. Jesus, are you the one? I first of all went blind. I didn't even know. People that were with me, they saw the light, they heard the voice, but they didn't know what was happening. That was the last day I walked with them. The moment I knew, when it pleased God, not me. And he separated, what I'm discovering now, he had separated me unto it from my mother's womb. What has God separated you to from your mother's womb? In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4, very popular scripture. Then the word of the Lord came to me. I didn't think about it. Somebody said, think about a thought. Who will not think you should marry a rich man? But that's not the path. That may not be the path God wants. Someone like me, when my wife married me, I didn't have anything. What would have happened if she was waiting for a rich person? A prophet told me, yeah, the man will be rich. But there's a path. Oh, I think I'll fail this. These people, they don't like what I'm saying right now. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, because of time, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. There are two yous. I said there are two yous. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
There was someone God had always related with. I'm not sermonizing. I'm telling you the truth. You know, the highest you can be if you are with God is to be a prince. So God blew us not too far from the sun, not too close to the sun. I said, go and dominate for me. And he gave you a place he didn't give me. But you said, no, it's my own you want. That's why you're not successful. The day you start living is the day you discover what God wants. God wants to rule in the affairs of men. Come on, somebody. You need to wake up. You need to wake up. Everything the devil is doing every day is to steal this thing I'm sharing with you from you. Before I formed you, I need you. Before you were born, I sanctified. Sanctify me, separate. I separated you and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations before you were born. So I had to make two DNAs to meet together to have, so that you have your personality and your temperament, everything. I had to organize it. Out of all my siblings, I'm the most blessed. God did it that way. Out of all my siblings, I'm the only one that can talk, that can do this. God did it that way. I'm the only fair person. Maybe you need to be fair for you to do what you're supposed to do. I don't even know who I look like. My mother is not fair. My father, maybe you need to be fair. I don't know. But you didn't just fall from heaven. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there's no revelation. I love you to read the KJV. Where there's no vision. Because it needs to be revealed to you. You don't determine it. You discover it. Where there's no vision, the people perish. I love the Young Literal Translation. Young's Literal Translation says, without a vision, a people are made naked. Are you naked? Are you exposed? Instead of you to be crying, he said, I have money again. Maybe God took that thing you had confidence in so that you can face him. One of the best messages I've heard in this church is turn aside. God knew if he showed Moses a burning bush and the bush was not consumed, Moses would turn aside and look and say, ah, what is happening here? What has God done to attract you? What has God done to attract you? I pray in the name of Jesus, you'll not be naked again. The enemy will not steal from you again. In the name of Jesus. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. I want to read the Amplified version to you. For we are God's own handiwork. In other words, God didn't produce you through a machine. He didn't use the mold. Even if you were a twin in this place, you don't look like your twin sister or your twin brother. You are different. The retina of your eyes is different. The fingerprint is different. I can tell you many things that are different. So you are a handiwork. In other words, you're a masterpiece. Nobody like you. Come on, clap for Jesus. Somebody don't clap. If there's nobody like me, why am I in love? I'm telling you the truth. Recreated. That's the word. Born anew. He's talking about a born again experience. That we might do those works which God predestined. Predestined is a good word. But when is pre? Go and study where you get them. In other words, he has planned it ahead of time. That we may do those good works which God predestined. Oh, he's here. Planned beforehand for us. Taking path. I want to talk about path. Taking path which he prepared. When people come to me, read this when you get home. I don't have time to finish reading because I would like to exegete it when I read it. When people come to me, God called them. But the path they want to go through is not the path God has chosen. I see it
And I say, well, they will soon get it. Not all of them, but many. You say, you know, I was talking to young converts here. Some young converts, I talked to them. So one of them raised up their hand. After I finished speaking, I said, do you have a question? One of them raised up their hand. We've been here for 3 days. This done, that done. You buy this, you buy that. How come the church I'm coming from, the pastor can't do? I said, well, don't judge that pastor. We don't know what God called him to do. But what I know is that if you follow the path, you will have. He's not following. Maybe he's not following the path. It's possible. Nobody told my wife, but assume they told her, you'll marry such and such and such a person. So she's looking for somebody that looks like that. But it don't work. There's a path. Am I preaching? There's a path. So quickly, because of time, I will show you a few things that you need to put in place. Are you alive? If you are, if you get to the airport, you met your friend and you are just, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to Lagos. Oh, where are you going? I'm going to Jos. And every flight, whether, give it to me, earpiece, give it to me. Arik, everybody's calling Lagos. Nobody called Jos. Do you enter Lagos and say, no, because everybody's calling Lagos. Do you enter Lagos and say, Mama, they're not called Jos since. I go just enter Lagos. Come on, why are you laughing? Number one, you know where you're going. So it doesn't matter how many people go to their own place. You stay. You even tell people, oh, they delayed my flight. But you know what people do? Ah, you be like saying that Lagos, they trend though. They don't have their accommodation booked. Every house you knocked in Lagos, nobody was expecting you. So they are stuck. This is the problem. This is the problem. You can't talk me into doing what another pastor is doing. Ah, I know this work a little bit. I don't know everything, but a little bit. This work, I know it. That any genuinely pastor called, there's something God has called. If he wants you to join him, he won't call you. He will just tell you, join him. For him to call you, there's something, a piece, a part he wants you to fulfill. Why will you be doing what he's doing? He's doing what he's doing. He's successful because he's doing what God has called him to do. Talk to me. So it's good to advise people, but don't advise people about their calling. There's nobody that's told me, God said I should go here. And I said, no, 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 no. God can't tell you. When God spoke to me too. Nobody, if you know I've told you that, contest it. Nobody. Not one in 23 years. Once you mention God, I withdraw. Because I know that God can call you to things that people don't believe. Hallelujah. But make sure it is God that's calling you. Are you alive? Are you alive? If you're alive, shout amen, somebody. One day I was in London. I was going to greet my kids. In those days, it's cold in Kent area. And I just took a train. And I got a direction. They told me, oh, if you want to go here, you have to change airline from green to red. Or is it red to one of them? This one is going this way. That one is going. You have to, when you get to this point, change the train. But I went the opposite direction because I was not used to train. Oh, it's a Sunday morning, so I wanted to see them. Train will be easy to take on a Sunday morning. I had to
First of all, go to the place where I missed it. Then I've showed you how that God, when he spoke to the fish to vomit Jonah, it took him to the place where he bought the ticket to Tarshish. I said, arise. If he was in Nineveh, he wouldn't tell him, arise. Arise and go to Nineveh. He wasn't there. God will not advance instructions. Maybe he told you in 1999. Maybe he told you in 1985. Go back to what he told you. But I don't like it. I told you the reason, maybe the reason why that is not popular is because you've not reasoned. No, I'm so sure God told me to do this, but I don't know how to go about it. Very easy. Very easy. Start anyhow. Whoever knows how to do good and doesn't do it, he becomes sin. Hallelujah. Somebody shout path. I can't hear you. Still path. So, if you miss your train, you miss your destination. A lot of people miss their train, or they miss their flight. So they are at the wrong destination. They are stuck for a long time. They are in the middle of nowhere. Oh, if I just get a little bit of perfume, I'll be better. If I get a makeup, I'll be better. If I cover out something, real success, you need to get to where God has budgeted for you to go to. Somebody came to me and said, Pastor Bjorn, what age am I supposed to get married? I said, it has no age. It has a lot to do with you knowing where you're going. You see, if I'm going somewhere, maybe someone told me to come and pray on a property, I will go with policemen because I don't use my faith for what I can use money to. I don't waste my faith. Amen, somebody. But is I want to go and greet my mom. I may not take a police to go because I know where I'm going. And I'm going to my mom. Where you are going determines who you take along. Somebody came to see me with the HOD. As he sat in front of me, I just said, "That your department has this and this. Don't be engaged. Don't." I said, "Part of what we want to tell you is that he's been married before. this happened." I said, "Okay." From that day, I've been praying for that brother. Because marital issue is a major issue. You will not make a mistake. Yeah. A lot of people, when they are 45 and above, the wife just realized, "I'm 40 right now. I've lived for you. I want to change." A pastor divorced in Nigeria. I know the pastor. I don't know his vices, but I know that he's a good teacher of the word. His wife just said he doesn't want to live in Nigeria, and God has called the man to Nigeria. They got married when they were unbelievers. Before the man discovered what God has called him to do, he looked at age. "Oh, my high school lover." You must know exactly what you were born for before you get married. That's the age you're supposed to get married. Think about what is causing the trouble between you and your spouse. It is vision. It's either you don't have any, or what you have is not compatible with hers. Amen. If you are supposed to be going to Nineveh and you buy a ticket to Tarshish, you will attract storm. There's a path God has chosen for you. How many of you have read Proverbs 3, verse 5 before? Say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. There's a path you have. Let God direct it.
There's a path. And I pray in the name of Jesus, God will direct it.
Amen.
Don't only know your vision, let God direct your path. Very quickly, I budgeted to give you five. I don't know why I prepared more than, but let me give you one because of time. Five things you need to know. So I'll continue tomorrow. Number one, there's nobody that does not have a place that God has called them to. There's nobody, no human being that does not have a place that God has called them to. Even though I know I've promised the leaders that I will not speak about Jackpot again. They didn't force me. I was the one that mentioned it. But let me quickly say to somebody here. If God has not called you abroad and you go abroad, there'll be a problem when you get there. Incidentally, nobody speaks about problems. They only speak about, they only do videos at the airport and do videos. Nobody talks about the problem they go through. It's a different society. Everybody that is called of God has a place. Oh, if it was in 21st century that Brook Kerith dried for Elijah, somebody would be praying, Rakaba, Brook, bring forth water. In the raven, I command you. They'll be praying. God told them the brook has dried. Move. There's a place for everybody. Amen? If you don't have a place, you'll be struggling. I hope you know that the widow in Zarephath was an unbeliever. She was from Tyre and Sidon. When you are tired and you sit down, no, I know that closer people don't know. When you are tired and you sit down, it's called Sidon, Tyre, and Sidon. That's where she's from. She's from Sidon, or if you're an American, Sidon. She's from Sidon. But that was the widow that God sent Elijah to. So go to that woman. She's going to help you. That lady was foraging. She was gathering sticks to eat and die. That was the person that God sent the prophet to. So there's a place. If Elijah said, I can't go to Sidon and Tyre. I have to go to Israel. There were many widows in Israel, but she was sent only. There's a place that you're sent to. Stay there. I hope you know that Jehovah Jireh is not the name of God. It's the name of a place. Give me Genesis 22. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, not God. Place. As it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord, it shall be seen. What if Abraham went to another mountain? He won't see that animal. So there's a place where you'll see the goodness of God. Go there. Stay there. Let's rise to our feet. I'm out of time. Are you here today? Your life has been going the way you want. Anybody can be somebody. Anybody can be somebody. And you know that you own your own life. You eat what you want. You drink what you want. You smoke what you want. But when you heard this message today, pastor was longer than he used to be. But you thought to yourself, this man spoke to me. I didn't plan that he would speak to me this way. If you're the type that you heard God's word and you believe God's word today and you believe God has sent me to you, why don't you let us pray together? Anybody who laughs at you and is bored or feels, why did you come out? It's because you've not done what you're about to do before. Anybody that is part of us has done what you're about to do before. They've done it here before. You are here today. You are not born again. Or you're born again, you've gone back.
you know you are not in the place where God put you. You gave your life to Christ, you took it back. If that's you, don't even wait for anybody. It might be only you. Come forward. Let me pray for you. Let's pray together. And your life will not remain the same. It might be only him. Come forward. Come. 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 Come.
Tell me all I need to know.
Fill me with a touch that this same life can give you joy
here. Fill me with your touch that my life may give you joy. Oh Lord, let me know you more.
Meet me at the point of my need, oh God.
Meet me at the point of my need.
You know, it's travesty for you to be clapping for people when you ought to be out
tell
yourself.
Me all I need to know.
Fill me with your touch that this same life can give you joy again.
Fill me with your touch that my life may give you joy.
Oh Lord,
Lord, let me know you more.
Sing it one more time. Meet me at the point of my need.
Meet me at the point of my need.
Tell me everything I need to know. Sing it.
Tell me all I need to know.
Fill me with your touch that this same life can give you joy again.
Fill me with your touch that my life may bring you joy.
Oh Lord,
oh Lord, let me know you more.
Every day of my life,
oh Lord.
I bragged on God and I shared what I shared. I don't have a solution for you. I'm a human being like you. But there's a God that knows your beginning right from the end. He knows everything. Things you've not told me before, he knows everything. And I pray that that God will perfect all that concerns you. You don't know how happy I am to see kids come out to receive Jesus Christ. Even if they don't fully know what they're doing, that they are heaven bound, they're not hell bound, is a good thing for them. You're already in a belief system. You need to confess God's word. And that's why I'm going to allow the whole church to confess with you. So don't keep your mouth shut. Whoever keeps his mouth keeps his life. Say after me, Father. In the name of Jesus, I heard your word and I believe your word. From today, I believe that anybody can be somebody. I don't believe that I chose the wrong destiny. I believe I can be somebody. Therefore, I confess Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. I believe that Jesus came in the flesh. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe that on the third day, he was raised from the dead. Therefore, everything Jesus did by his death, resurrection, and ascension, I receive now in my human spirit. I receive the gift of eternal life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we prayed. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand.